Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the continuously revitalized huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and into Massachusetts as well. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our very skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that is a guarantee of ours. And by the way, nationwide mortgage rates hit their low point in history this week. I don't know if they're still there, but it was an astounding thing to see after all we've been through. And ask about our many exclusive programs while you've got one of our mortgage consultants on the phone, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And believe it or not, it's a very, very active market out there if you're a buyer. And if you're a seller, there's probably no greater opportunity than we've seen in my lifetime in terms of the demand for housing today, existing housing and new housing. And it's all available through huntrealestate.com. And it's financeable through Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. And that pre-purchase commitment, again, makes your offer in a competitive situation equal to a cash offer. So you'll want to make sure that you take full advantage of that. Don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale anywhere in the markets we serve. Our local number here is 716-631-4800. All you have to do is enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, as long as there's a sign there. And the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically, just that fast, anytime in any market we serve. And again, our local number is 631-4800. It doesn't have to be our listing. Any sign, whatever. Sometimes you drive by and there's 14 things taped on top and pictures and everything else, and it's impossible to tell how to get in touch with somebody through that kind of nonsense and that confusion. Just remember this number, 631-4800. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, all of whom are idled right now, but we still support them anyway, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We are broadcast live here in WBEN 9:30 a.m., and my guests are going to be remote until we're done with this event in our history. Ben, you can reach us here in the studio if you'd like to participate at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance and star 930. And you can also text us here at 30930. We have a very special show for you today, but before I get to introducing my guests, I want to remind our listeners that our mission here at Our House is to help you protect and enhance your investment in real estate right here in Western New York. One of the issues that contributes, one of the most important things contributing to the value of your real estate here, is our cultural institutions. As many of you know, I hope all of you know, we are blessed with a significant inventory of cultural institutions in our community. And today we're going to focus on one of those, in my mind, one of the premier ones, not only here in Western New York, but also in the entire world, and that is the Buffalo Philharmonic. And to help me with this discussion are the two people most impactful in that organization. One is Dan Hart, the executive director, and then we are blessed to have a world-renowned guest today, Joanne Folletta, the music director of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. Good morning, Dan, and good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
So good to have you with us this morning. Let us start, if we can, with the institution itself, and perhaps an idea, invite either one of you to just tell us a little bit about the history of the Buffalo Philharmonic, because I think most of our listeners are maybe not totally familiar with it. Tell us a little bit about how long we've been around and how long it's been part of our community.
Joanne, you want to take that?
Yeah, maybe I'll start, Dan, and then you can join me and add a lot of things. We were formed in 1935, and we are very proud of the fact that we were actually a WPA orchestra. Not many people know that or remember that. We were formed by the Works Project Administration, frankly, to give people jobs, to find work for unemployed musicians, but also to sort of lift the spirit of Americans who were caught in the Great Depression. It was a terrible time, and the idea that an orchestra could bring hope and joy and healing to our country was the reason that we were founded. So we've always felt like a people's orchestra because of that. We weren't really founded by a wealthy board or an important individual. We were founded simply to bring people together and to help them heal in a terrible time in our country. Dan, anything to add to that, when the hall was built? Or?
Yeah, no, I think, 1935, that's going back now. We're on our 85th season now, so we've come a long way, and we've actually been very fortunate in the history of the orchestra to call Kleinhans Music Hall our home. Kleinhans was built 5 years after the BPO was founded, and also had Progress Works Administration, PWA, money at the seat of that. So again, a time in our history of our nation when the federal government stepped in to shore up, and much like it's happening again now. But the BPO has had a solid program. It's been one of the top orchestras in the country for all this time. You know, our youth concerts go back to the very beginning, so we were playing for young kids, K through 12. It would be frightening to add up the number of kids that we've played for, you know, millions upon millions in our educational programs, which continue today. And the BPO has also, I think because it was rooted in the community, has always had a very diverse array of programming, pops, education, classics. And this would run a little bit counter to maybe some of the models of some of America's biggest orchestras, which were totally focused on the classical repertoire. So I think we have a history of just being a much more community-minded and community-driven orchestra in its mission.
I want to touch on, I would like you to touch on, Joanne, two words that you used, which I thought were remarkable, particularly in today's times, and those two words are lift spirits. In view of what's going on today, first of all, tell us about the orchestra itself, the musicians. Tell us how everybody's doing and what's going on there, and how you're keeping the group together in times like these.
Well, I think that most of all, everyone is really wanting to get back to work. You know, it's, for us, it's not work. It's really who we are. So when we can't play together, we feel bereft. I mean, it's very difficult for us, but we are trying to do lots of things to somehow keep sharing the music. For instance, Tuesday nights, we broadcast previous concerts, archived concerts, so that people can still hear the full orchestra. Our musicians are creating all kinds of videos at home, alone or with their families. Some are funny, some are just simply beautiful, just to say hello to their audience and to make a little music for them. So they have also created an amazing gift to Buffalo in a three-minute video featuring the Firebird, music by Igor Stravinsky, with the Firebird symbol of rebirth, recovery, renewal, and that's received tens of thousands of views already. So I'm very proud that they made that video.
These are highly unusual times, but what the effect on things like live music has been going on for some time in terms of people with the digitization of everything and the explosion of media else all over the place. It must make it very difficult for live performers like your orchestra to, I guess, to broaden your audience. How do you do that? But let's go back before the pandemic descended on us. How are you doing that? How are you building an audience in a time when we're constantly challenged, I guess, with just all kinds of things coming at us without even our acknowledgement necessarily? How do you compete in that world?
Well, we've had to change how we think about ourselves. Essentially, the product is still the same. We're still playing music from three centuries at a very, very high level. But we make sure that it's completely welcoming to people. And Dan can talk about his staff as well. I mean, going into Kleinhans for a concert is a wonderful experience. Some people come an hour before because I talk from the stage in a very informal way about what they're going to hear. People come and hear usually young ensembles who play in our Mary Seton room also before the concert. And the concert itself is very joyful. So we're constantly looking to spread the word to young people, to people who have not been. Of course, our Pops concerts are very, very well attended. We are always building an audience, and I think we've had great success. And one thing maybe the pandemic has shown us is that live music is different. You know, it's fine to listen at home. It's fine to listen on your computer or your phone. But when you go into a place like Kleinhans, which is a fabulous hall, and the music is vibrating around you, and you see people playing, and you hear them, and you see their intensity and their dedication, we miss that. Everyone misses that. So maybe there's a silver lining, in a sense, to all of this when we realize how much we like to listen to music together in a beautiful hall.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I'm a huge fan of live music because I think, just as you point out, Joanne, the relationship between the musicians and the audience can't be duplicated through recording. It's very extremely difficult. But what we have also, the venue is something that is you have to see. And I'm of course I'm a little closer to it now than I was in the past. But Dan Hart, tell us a little bit about the process that you've been going through lately in terms of just the facility itself, getting it ready for reopening and bringing the crowds back. But I know a lot of stuff's been going on there at building, and tell us a little bit about it from your perspective.
I mean, you're being very modest in opening up this subject, but for the listeners, I mean, we have engaged Hunt Property Solutions, and we are really remaking the entire hall, and the team that's been working with us over there, Bill Hibbert and Jim Schillinger, have really started just at the basement level, and they are working their way up to really refine and restore all parts of the building to its original glory. And it's amazing to see this happen. And one of the coolest things that happened last week was that, James was able to fix the lights on the exterior of the Mary Seton room that face Symphony Circle. And these lights have been problematic for, well, the entire 15 years I'm here. We couldn't really get anybody to focus on them and figure out a solution. And your people at Hunt figured it out. And so I think a week ago or so, there was a press release issued. We had pictures, and they came up with a way to light the building in different colors, like a rainbow. And it was, again, kind of going back to this whole thing about lifting spirits, it really felt like a community event to lift the spirits. Just seeing the hall lit up to show that people, that there is going to be a future, that the hall is still there. And it was really a very special moment for us at Kleinhans. But we're working on all kinds of things. And back to your question about, planning for the future and what does the digital era mean, you know, it does mean, for lots of reasons, that the BPO would have to become more of a media company, in Kleinhans as well. So we are also, in addition to the construction and the upgrades of the cosmetic and physical plant there, we are trying to outfit the hall for digital cameras, video, that we can move forward in the future in that way as well as the live experience. And I think that this time that we're in has shown us that there is a great place for any orchestra with digital media. It can reach lots of people. And I think we don't see it so much as competition, Peter, but as a way to engage and draw our audiences into the hall. And, in the past few weeks, I've talked to our patrons, Joanne's right, that we live to be together and to have this shared experience. And most of the audience members I talk to are saying that, yes, they love seeing these things on social media and listening to on the radio, but it really can't take the place of the live experience. So that's very heartening to know that we haven't rendered ourselves obsolete here. It's a way to further engage people.
By no means. As a matter of fact, I appreciate what you're saying there, Dan, and also what you said earlier, Joanne, about really taking advantage of the technology of today as opposed to kind of fighting it, which makes no sense. And certainly part of that is the building itself and continuously upgrading it and making it the kind of building that will be attractive and will bring people in, which is something that we're very honored to be part of. As a matter of fact, we had a company event there, as you know, Dan, right before the the closing. And in all the events we've had over 108 years, I've only been part of that, but our whole family, I've never in my life received the comments I got back from our people about the venue itself, which was a great tribute to you and everything that's going on there. The building. Take us back to 1940, though. Tell us about the architecture itself, Dan. Who was the architect, and why is that such a significant building, really, in the world?
Yeah, thank you, Peter. It is an amazing story, the way that Klein Hands came about. And in addition to the government support, there are a number of kind of overlapping stories about Klein Hands. And one theme would be this nation getting back on its feet. Another theme would be community giving back to itself. Klein Hands Department Store was a very viable men's clothing store. And when the Klein Hands passed away in 1934, they left their entire estate to the city, really, to build a hall for the community. And it took 6 years for the estate to settle and for them to decide on an architect. A third component would be just a community rallying together on a very important project. In this case, the project was managed by the Community Foundation for Greater Buffalo, then called the Buffalo Foundation. But they formed a committee of concerned citizens, and they were the ones who took charge of it. So, you've got the federal government there, you've got major donors there and philanthropy, and you've got a community that's really coming together to build something. And there's a third component that I'll get to the architects, but it's also, I think, an example of the power of individual voice, because in the planning of the architecture and the building of the Klein Hands Hall, one person kind of stood up and said, wait a minute, let's think about what we're doing here. And this was a school teacher named Esther Link. And she had seen plans for a kind of Beaux Arts style building that the committee was working on. And she had the idea that if we really want to make a statement about Buffalo, about the future of Buffalo, and where Buffalo is headed, we should be thinking about a more modern approach to architecture. And she was the one who led them to Ilio and Eero Saarinen, who were Finnish architects who had immigrated to Michigan in the 1930s to find work. And the Saarinens had become, this was one of the only projects they worked on as father and son. And Eero was quite well known. He had won a prize for the Chicago Tribune competition in the 30s and got some fame for that. But they were hired to come in and take a new look on Klein Hands. And I just think it was a fantastic kind of community event. You know, you've got lots of people, lots of opinions. They wound up with something that has been really spectacular over the times. Klein Hands is the very model of mid-century modern. At the time, it must have been like a spaceship was landing in the middle of a Victorian, style neighborhood. But it has held up all these years later. The interior, they built it with such care and passion, and really, ultimately, as a temple of music. I think Joanne and I just feel so blessed to be able to call that home and to really kind of live in that building on a day-to-day basis. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic Buffalo treasure.
There's no question about that. I mean, every time I go there, it's a spectacular feeling just to see the structure and when you go in to actually listen to music, it's phenomenal. Joanne, what about the acoustics of a building like that? You must be very sensitive to that. And I'm told that they're about as good as they can possibly get anywhere in the world.
They really are, you know, and we are very lucky. Our hole is acknowledged as one of the great holes in our country, and it truly is. And acoustics, of course, play a big part in that. The Theremins, I must have loved music because that was first and foremost in their mind, I think, in designing this, because they made it like a musical instrument. And a hole really is that. It is a musical instrument. It's part of how we make music, and they designed it. I always think of it as a cello, but I think that they were actually, the two of them, thinking of a violin. So it's a huge violin body, and people actually sit inside that instrument. So the hall is always resonating, and the sound is blended and warm. And frankly, Peter, I think that's why the Buffalo Philharmonic has a beautiful sound. I mean, it's acknowledged by so many people who hear our recordings that the sound of the orchestra is really extraordinary. It's because they've grown up in that hall. That's been the hall we've played in every day since 1940. So it's created a kind of creamy, warm, golden sound that the orchestra is known for because we have this extraordinary hall.
And you practice right there on the stage. Is that correct, Joanne?
Every day, we're right on the stage. Although there is another lovely chamber music hall, as you know, Mary Seton Room, right across from our hall. But we are on the stage every day, and we record all of our recordings right in that hall. And we feel very blessed to be able to make music there.
How many days have you been off now?
Dan, since mid-March, am I right? Mid-March 12th, I believe, was our last time together.
And are you getting any signs from the state in terms of when you'll be able to get back together? I mean, we're all kind of scratching our heads, but I wonder if you're close enough to it, Dan or Joanne, to have any sense of when you'll be back on the stage.
I think that it's probably going to be a slow reopening, and I think we need to be prepared for it to take a little bit longer for us to reach the stage. You know, we keep active by planning for all kinds of contingencies, and you know, we've got plans for the summer, shifting things around a little bit. We're working on the fall for reopening. There's almost so many, you know, scenarios. It's mind-boggling to try to keep track of them.
That's true. You know, one of the things that I'm going to ask you about when we come back, we have to go to break in a few seconds here, but one of the things I want to ask you about is the power of the Philharmonic to attract, because of its worldwide reputation, the power to help attract us people, to keep bringing people back to our community. I know that those involved in the relocation business always bring it up, but I want to hear from you on that. We'll be right back after these very important messages from our host yours with Joanne Folletta and Dan Hart.
The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect Mother's Day gift. With over 24 cocktails at the push of a button, give mom what she really wants at drinkworks.com/mom. From mojitos to mules to margaritas, save over $100 and get the DrinkWorks Home Bar for the Mother's Day price of only $1.99 at drinkworks.com/mom. The perfect Mother's Day gift is the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. Get yours today at drinkworks.com/mom. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. Used under license. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the continuously revitalized huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available, not just here in Western New York, but all across upstate and through our links to Arizona and also Massachusetts. And you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to effectively buy the before and live the after, call us at 633-3700 and ask for details with one of our mortgage consultants who will guide you through that process. Also ask about the pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan available only through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. If you have a general question about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center at 633-9400. We'll either answer your question right there on the phone, or we'll direct you to the appropriate professional who can help you with whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring your home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. There's no greater guarantee in the industry. Available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. I'm in the studio via technology today with two of Western New York's leading citizens, Dan Hart, the executive director of the Buffalo Philharmonic, and our internationally known music director of that orchestra, Joanne Folletta. Welcome back, Joanne and Dan. And before the break, I was just commenting on the importance of things like the Buffalo Philharmonic to our ability to attract people from all over the world to come and live here. And it's been most interesting of late, given the crisis that we're kind of living through right now. One of the things that really shocked me this week was to learn the number of inquiries we're getting from out of town about people that might have grown up here and would like to come back, and people that just have heard a great deal about us and how cool it is to be in a town like Buffalo at this point in time, despite what we're going through. One of the things that comes up regularly is the Philharmonic itself, along with the art gallery, our park system, and several other notable cultural aspects. How important is it to you? And I'll ask you specifically, Joanne, in terms of your own experience. You could have gone anywhere in the world. You probably still could, but you're here. What brought you here, and why do you stay?
You know, it's because of Buffalo itself and the connection to the arts with people here. I felt that immediately, that people were proud of the Philharmonic just as they were proud of the Albright Knox and Birchfield Penny and the Bills. I mean, that is just people take an interest in what's happening, and music is very important to people in Buffalo and Erie County. So it was a great place to build an orchestra because I felt I had a board and Dan Hart, the best executive director in our country, with me to make this happen. It was the beginning of the 21st century, and it seemed like it was the time for the Philharmonic to be able to reach a new level of financial and artistic security, and they really have. And I must tell you, as we talk about coming to Buffalo, so many musicians, most of our musicians in our orchestra are not from Buffalo, because we have international auditions and people come from all over the world to try out for openings. And they come to Buffalo, they move to Buffalo, and they love it here. The quality of life is very high. For a young musician just moving here out of school, there's the possibility of buying a small home and raising a family in a beautiful, safe setting. And it's a wonderful place. And I think that extends, that sense of something special in Buffalo extends to other professions. And I know very often when we're having rehearsals, we might be visited from someone from Roswell, for instance, who's taking a potential new doctor in to hear the orchestra because they're interested in the arts. People move here knowing that they have a vibrant arts community around them.
Well, that's always wonderful to hear, and I think I speak for our whole community to say how honored we are to have you with us as part of our community, and for as long as you've been here, which is great. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's always, people are shocked. I think there's two unhappy days for people that don't know much about Buffalo. One is the day that they're told they have to move to Buffalo, and the second unhappy day is the day they're told they have to leave. This is something we experience not all that often, but certainly coming in, people are shocked when they get here to see what we have, which is a great. I think it's a great compliment to both of you and certainly to our entire community. We have a caller on the line. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Thank you for your program. I was just curious if the guests could talk about the demographics of their audience and what they think the trends are long-term in terms of classical music listenership.
It's a very interesting question. How would you respond to that?
Joanne, you want me to take that?
Yeah, you take that one. I mean, by instinct, I find our audience is very, very diverse and very different in terms of economic strata and age. But Dan keeps track of all of this. So, Dan, maybe talk about that.
Yeah, I think that I think one of the things that the arts, not even orchestras, but all arts maybe faces the maybe a perception that the audience is old and aging and is going to, age out at some point. And I think that if you look at the programs that we have, just think about, we reach 200,000 people a year. Almost 60,000 of those are kids K through 12 through our education programs. So more than 25% of our audience is in a demographic that can't even pay for a ticket. But it's young, you know, and I think that, somebody might say, well, your audience is really too young in this respect. But, the thing about the orchestra, though, is that there is a demographic for each of our different programs. And, Peter, kind of following up on a question you said, how do we keep relevant? We keep relevant by continually changing our programming. And so in addition to the traditional classics and pops, now we have a rock series where we're kind of basically bringing the demographics down into the baby boomer age. We're doing films now, and you're bringing it down into millennial ages. So I think that the thing about an orchestra is that we are really, our mission is to present symphonic music, and symphonic music has so many different aspects to it that attract ages 1 through 80. So it's not really a question of looking at like one particular program, but looking at the entire picture, we see that we do have a very diverse array of age demographics, and by design. So I think that, again, we've been forced to really kind of think creatively out of the box and always try to reinvent ourselves, always try to look at what's going on in terms of programming. But at the core, the classics audience is kind of what, the kind of core of what we're built around, what Joanne was talking about. And that music has resonance for people, too. We're doing college nights, and we're having high school kids come to our Friday morning concerts. And I think once everybody gets in front of an orchestra and sees the virtuosity of our young players or just our players in general, they're just blown away. So I think it's I'm not too concerned about the demographics, but we are certainly trying by our programming to create entry points for just about everybody. Does that make sense, Gustav?
I believe it does. I cut him off, so he's going to have to listen to us on the air. But I'm sure that was a tremendous response to his question. You touched on a couple things, and Joanne touched on one thing a little while ago, and you just put a little underscore on it. 200,000 people come through there every year. That's an astounding number in a city like Buffalo that only has about that many people, a little more than that many people in the whole city. Which is pretty phenomenal when you think about it. But you had touched on something, Joanne, in terms of the financial strength of the institution. And there have been some dark days going back, say, 15, 20 years or more. And both of you are familiar with that. How did you work through all that period of time?
Well, we were very lucky to get Dan Hart to come here, first of all, because the orchestra, like many orchestras, had been in financial distress at several times in their history, and we're not alone in that. We're not alone in that with arts organizations. But Dan was able to find, have the wisdom and the knowledge to get us back on track so that we have always balanced our budget. Since Dan has been here, and it's been amazingly helpful for us to build artistically because of that. I mean, financial security means we can plan in advance. We can take the opportunities to go to Poland on tour as we did, or to go down to Florida every other year on tour, reaching audiences and spreading the word about the orchestra. We can only do that because we are financially solvent. So, and Dan himself is a musician, so he always puts the music first, but it's within the context of financial health. And that puts us in a very special class. I know that there are many orchestras around the country who point to Buffalo as a success story now, which was not the case decades ago. But it is a success story because of Dan's leadership and our wonderful board that is active and engaged and very, very devoted to clients and to the Buffalo Philharmonic.
To underscore that, I have to tell both of you that when I travel, you know, people say, they say, "Where are you from?" And I say, "Buffalo." And first of all, after we get past the snow and the Buffalo Bills, we can then get to other things. And what's happened recently in the last several years, which really surprised me, are two things. Number one, they have complimented me on a touring show from our art gallery, for example, which we both, all of us know, is spectacular. The shows that we've put on that have traveled have been positively amazing. And the other thing they mention is the Buffalo Philharmonic. And the reputation goes all over the place, as you both know much better than I do. But honestly, you start to puff your chest up and feel all proud of our city again, which is really remarkable. There were some times, and I remember way back when being approached by a good friend, someone you know, I won't mention his name, but I was seeking a contribution for a political candidate, and he said, I'll do that if you'll make a contribution to the Philharmonic. And I said, no problem at all. And I think that silly quid pro quo, but the fact of life is that I hadn't been really that aware at that point in my life, and I'm glad that he woke me up, and I'm glad the community woke up too. We have to go to a break. We'll be right back with more from our hosts after these important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Hunt Mortgage is the home of the low-rate and closing cost guarantee, and I can't underscore it enough, the importance of calling today, 633-3700. Rates are incredibly low, lowest in history. And if you're ever going to take advantage of something that's really kind of a gift, this is one of those things. Another gift is our wonderful Buffalo Philharmonic, which is housed at Kleinhans Music Hall at Symphony Circle. And with me on the show today, live remote to protect us from a social distancing standpoint, are Dan Hart, the executive director, and Joanne Folletta, the music director of that great institution. I didn't ask either one of you, but you've alluded to it a couple times, Joanne, in terms of Dan's background. Dan, tell us how you got here.
I was a musician, played string bass from the time I was fourth grade through college, and got into orchestra management because of I liked all the business aspects, and I did retail management jobs and things like that, and I just at one point when I learned that I could combine the two, it just made sense to kind of jump to this side of it, and I've never looked back. It's been such a great privilege to be involved with a few organizations across the country and to work with great leaders like Joanne Folletta. Joanne and I met in 1987 in Milwaukee. We worked together for 4 years in Virginia, and then when this job came open here, they recruited me to come to Buffalo. And this is now my 16th year here, 20th for Joanne, so we have a very long partnership, and I think that is certainly a key to our success here. Lots of great things can happen when you have time to really work through problems and issues, and when you have really a supportive board like we do here. And I would say Joanne is nice to compliment me, but community leadership is just so important to our cultural organizations, and We need strong leaders that will not only give money, but give strategic guidance. And I think it's very easy to see in the terms of a lot of Buffalo's cultural organizations that that exists here in a way that maybe doesn't in other places. So that's another really important ingredient to the success here. People like Ange Fatta, who was the one who recruited me to come to Buffalo, knew what he had to do to get the BPO back online, and thank goodness he stepped in at that time.
Well, your board is kind of a all-star list of our community leaders, which is remarkable in and of itself. But beyond that, it is amazing to me how whenever we're faced with a challenge here, somehow we're able to pull ourselves up and by our bootstraps and pull it together and create something truly remarkable. We're seeing that now, thank God, that the Albright Knox can go back to construction. We were shut down for a couple of weeks, but now we're going back, I think, as of just a couple of days ago. And as you pointed out earlier, we're busy at the at Klein Hands itself, physically trying to make sure that that's the greatest physical plant we can possibly have. Joanne, I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit. You have another credit to your name, which is, of course, your guitar festival. Tell us how that's going to happen, or if it's going to happen this year, and what we're going to, how we can see in the future.
Well, it's been postponed this year only because all of our candidates come from all over the world, and they would have had to have been making tapes and videos for us right at the beginning of the pandemic in March, and they contacted us and said there's no way they can even get into a school environment or into a place where they can be taped. So we have postponed it, but it'll be back. And it's been so thrilling for us to do this for now many years, and this would have been our tenth time doing it every other year. And our great guitarists come truly from all over the world, from Russia, from China, from Taiwan, from Korea, from South America, all over Europe. And for many of them, the 10 finalists who do come to Buffalo every competition, it's for many of them, it's the first time that they've ever been in the United States. And I'm so proud, Peter, that they come to Buffalo as their entry point, and they meet American people in their home for the first time. And so many of them, literally all of them, have said this is one of the most beautiful, welcoming places they've ever been. In fact, some of them come back and do the competition two or three times because they have so much enjoyed their experience here. But it's another way that Buffalo is extending its influence throughout the world. And with all the recordings that we're doing that have international presence, more and more people are learning about Buffalo and its tradition of the arts.
Well, this is, you know, I've been an observer of that competition, which has been amazing in my mind. I love the guitar itself and the people that have been able to accomplish so much playing. It's tremendous to see that here in Buffalo. And I hope, anyway, that I think we should all be humbled that you've done what you've done, because it's a tremendous international recognition for our city that you put that competition together. And I want to thank you myself for bringing that to Buffalo. You touched on one other thing earlier, Joanne, which I think is really kind of the key to all this discussion, and that is the experience. And this is, I watch my children and young people as they've come and gone through our house, and I watch their music experience. And you know, it's different from when I was growing up. There was great emphasis when I was growing up on actually learning to play an instrument and the physical nature of holding an instrument, using it, making music with it was really something that, you know, kind of surprises even the player, that when all of a sudden you play something and it sounds like it's supposed to sound. And it's an experience that I hope you can tell me that it's still as vibrant as it was years ago. Do you find, I mean, in your experience with the educational institutions and just the exposure that you have to that part of our world, that it has the kind of emphasis, the physically learning an instrument and playing an instrument that it did years ago, let's say?
Well, Peter, I agree with you. I mean, the very best thing I think a young person can have in their lives is to play an instrument. Now, that doesn't mean that they need to make it a profession, and most of them don't. But the kind of confidence and self-respect and willingness to work with people, it's a great team, just as a sports team is. All of us who went through that know how important it is. I hope that schools are trying to retain that. Not all of them can, because unfortunately sometimes people, when they have to make decisions about what is not going to be continued, the arts unfortunately are still considered in some places an extra, and they're not an extra. They're vital to what young people can do and what they can learn, and it actually completely changes their view on the world and their way of learning. So we know that playing an instrument is a tremendous help to young people, and I always encourage people, and I'm so glad to hear you say that too, Peter, because it's something I wish we would see more and more of again.
I certainly hope so, Joanne, because I've watched how it little kids now that are the next generation coming around my house, they always gravitate towards the piano in the corner of the room and the guitars. They just lunge at them and bang away. I don't care what sounds they make, but their interest, the first thing they do is point to those and say, you know, and they just jump. I don't even have a chance to say no before they're lunging at the instruments, which is great. But, you know, you touched on one thing too, which I think is unfortunately a side effect of what we're going through, and that is that there will be all kinds of educational institutions will look to areas to cut. And it's unfortunate that they gravitate towards the arts, and they gravitate towards music, and they gravitate towards sports, which are three of the greatest things in terms of a developmental experience that a young person can go through. And I just wonder, do they consult with you? Does the city consult with you, or the school system consult with you at all in terms of interaction and how maybe we can continue that experience a different way, or is it just a fiscal decision?
I think it's really a fiscal decision, although we have a wonderful relationship with the Buffalo Public Schools. I mean, they send everyone to our concerts in every grade, Peter, and I would like to say that. I think that's unique. Many orchestras have them come in once in their fourth grade year, maybe. Our young people come to a concert in Klein Hands every single year of their education. So, of course, music becomes natural, and going to a concert hall becomes something they do. But to actually play an instrument, I hope that we can do more to encourage that, because it really does change people's lives, and it helps them succeed, and it paves the way for them to be successful in any profession.
There's no question about that, because there's, you know, when somebody, a friend of mine, just took up the guitar fairly, you know, late in life, and so we've been talking about it from time to time. And he's obviously frustrated. It's a difficult thing to learn unless you kind of started young. But you know, we touched on one thing in our discussions, whether it was directly or indirectly, and it was that you used the term discipline, and it is a discipline, but by going through that discipline, you can see and hear progress, which is, there's almost no other way to experience that. I mean, in business, for example, the discipline of going through a business day is one thing, but it's very difficult to often just say, I made this much progress. But when you're looking at a musical instrument and you work at it for an hour or so, and you think about where you were at the beginning of the hour and where you are at the end of the hour, it is an amazingly transformative experience. And I don't know, for me it is anyway. I'm sure it's even greater for you. But as we, you know, we've got a couple of minutes left in the show, and I just would like you to both comment on how our listeners could, in these times and hopefully beyond soon, how could they engage with the Philharmonic, and what could they do to help you, and what could we do to interact better with our community?
Well, I think that one thing that's very easy right now during these times is just to stay connected through the social media channels. There's a lot of content that we're pushing out through Facebook Live events, through the broadcasts that people can get involved with. Certainly, I think that perhaps the absence, you know, keeping an eye towards the future, the absence of the live experience will hopefully get people excited about a return to the hall. And so we hope that people will, once we're back, that they'll come back and, you know, not be afraid to experience the BPO. So I would look towards our website, you know, bpo.org. There's all kinds of information. We've even got a coloring book that you can download to, if you've got young children, or if you just want to play with it, you can do a coloring book activity. So, and I think in the coming weeks we'll probably be rolling out even more things about that people can stay connected to the BPO.
I'm going to download that coloring book today. I think it's a great idea. If our listeners wanted to help out financially, could they go to the website and make a donation?
Yep, there's a Donate Now button there, so thank you for that. Donations of any size are appreciated. You know, we have we're up to about 3,000 donors right now for this year, and the gifts come in all sizes and shapes, whether it's a dollar or more, you know. So every gift helps at this point, and we certainly appreciate it.
Dan Hart, Executive Director of the Buffalo Philharmonic, thank you very much for being with us this morning. And Joanne Folletta, internationally known music director of our great orchestra, I want to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for joining us today. It's been a tremendous experience for me, and I hope for our listeners too. And I want to compliment you both on what you're doing here in our community. And we look forward at Hunt Property Solutions to helping continue to make that building the greatest place it can be. But thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Pete.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.